What's up? It's the Youth Podcast coming back at you.
We're back. Hope you enjoyed a week off.
Yeah.
Matt, tell them why we were off.
Yeah, we were off really because we wanted an extended holiday to honor all the mothers.
Yeah. And even if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I didn't want that. I wanted the podcast. Yeah. We wanted to make you celebrate
your sometimes mom. The best times I've had is when someone forced me to do something. And so we just knew that mothers were so important in people's lives that we had to force you to miss an entire week of the Youth Podcast.
Did anybody else listening right now just have trauma when Pastor Matt said, the best things are forced? I thought about my swimming instructor throwing me into the pool as a kid. Oh. It's the reason I didn't want to go back to swimming lessons and to this day hate it.
Yeah, I automatically thought of vegetable eating.
Yeah.
You know, eating your vegetables.
You're going to sit at the table until you eat them.
100%. And now as dads,
that's
our go-to method.
Yeah, for real. Love is forced, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's...
is that in scripture? I don't know. We'll get to
that. Is this
that
what
later.
The podcast is about today?
Welcome to the revolution.
This is an important episode.
Tell them why.
The seventh episode. And we know biblically this is the holy episode.
And you may have noticed this, the way we've been labeling these episodes, Matt has been waiting for this one because it is...
The 007.
007.
This is the James Bond of episodes.
Dude, and I'm trying to remember, how does the theme go? How's the theme track? I was going to whistle it just now, but
I
can't remember. Now I got to check
it out. Isn't it like... Ding, 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 ding. No, it's not, what it is.
Yeah,
ding,
ding. Is that what it is? That's right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, you remember Nintendo 64?
Oh, yeah.
GoldenEye?
Yeah. It's like GoldenEye and Mario Kart was the... If you needed a good starter pack to a Friday night, you had GoldenEye.
Yep.
And you had Mario Kart.
Mario Kart and...
Some Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Lots of pizza.
That was back in the days when people still ate Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I was thinking about all the books I had to read. Again, things you were forced to do. All the books I was forced to read.
All for Pizza Hut?
To get Pizza Hut.
And it was, tell people that are listening, because they don't do that today. So what did you get? What kind of pizza you
got? Yeah, so it was called a personal pan pizza, which did you know that you can actually order a personal pan pizza?
You can still get them
But you're paying for basically a normal size pizza, but intentionally getting a smaller one.
Yeah. But it was so rewarding.
Oh, it's so rewarding.
Because when you're a kid and they bring you out your own pizza.
Oh, it's the...
And this is the key, bro. You remember this. They brought out a mini spatula with it.
Yes.
And that sucker was yours, man.
You didn't have to share it. You could scoop whatever slice you wanted. It was the best. And I remember it too, cuz so the thing we're referencing is called Book It. That was the system.
Dude.
You read books to get a certificate to get a free personal pan pizza. I didn't go anything past the personal pan pizza.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I was like, forget a limo ride.
It's kind of the main event.
Oh, absolutely.
One of them was like a day with your teacher, which was like, I'll take the pizza.
What a vain concept of say, man, if you read 100 books, you get to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And they were always like elaborate things. It was like a day at Valley Fair or the Mall of America.
That's
like,
true.
Can you imagine? If, like, that's we true. Did that as youth pastors.
I was just going to say, what could we do on this podcast to say, who wants a day with Pastor Matt?
I've got it. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So we're going to do a Bible memorization competition. So we should...
Okay, I love that.
We should do this. Or a sword drill tournament. Instead of having a... Do you remember sword drills?
Oh, yeah, dude.
We've actually been doing sword drills at the campus.
Really?
Which has been awesome. Because it's bringing... kids to bring their Bibles, like their physical Bibles.
Yep.
But we should do a scripture memorization challenge, and a kid who can memorize the most scripture
that would be
in
awesome.
A lot of time, they could have the day with me at Valley Fair.
There's actually, there's something significant about memorizing scripture. And by the way, it's not what this podcast today is about.
No.
But seriously, I'm glad you said that, because one of the things that we've been focusing on, you said it for like your youth group, but all across River Valley Church, is how can we read more of God's word and memorize more of God's word?
Well, I know even too, in today's age, like digitally, the availability of the Bible is just, It's crazy. Like, I have probably 7 or 8 Bible apps on my phone
right
now. But, and this is the tension I feel like within the generations, is the actual, you know, binding Bible.
Yeah,
is definitely. I'm not saying it's not valuable, but the amount of people who have one is getting less and less and less. And my only thing is, like, I can't be notified with a message or an Instagram DM or anything like that if I'm reading my physical Bible.
Right.
And so it's almost like if I want to do something quick or look up something, I'll use my phone. But for me, I'm like, man, I have the importance of the bound Bible, because that it's like my focus stays. For sure. Maybe the teachers were onto something with the book it stuff of like getting our attention of reading.
Yeah, and I do think that.
And so, yeah, we should put that up. Should we make that an official thing across the campuses?
Yeah, let's do it.
The kid that can read the most or memorize the most scripture gets a day with their youth pastors.
Yeah, you got somebody out there who's going to – I mean, people can memorize extraordinary amounts of things.
Oh, it's insane. You know? The amount of random things that I have memorized in my head, what if we put that to intentionality? I mean,
you have a lot of stuff up in there, man. Buddy, buddy, let me tell you. But I do love what you're saying. It's interesting. I was talking with a group of youth pastors recently, telling them some of the things that we've been doing in regards to small groups, sword drill stuff, physically. I mean, physically is the wrong word. Reading the physical word of God, what you're talking about. And I think you said this, but there's truth in it. You know, oftentimes practices of old have value.
Yes.
And we were talking about how there's something in our brains that, you know, and this is what you were just saying, the tactile function of a book, of touching, turning a page, engaging with it physically, adds value.
Right.
You know.
Well, and this is a small little, like, madism that I do. Like, if I have a...
I love these.
Yeah, right. If I have a digital Bible... And it only allows me to highlight or underline an entire verse when I just want to do maybe like a partial line.
Right.
I delete it.
Yeah.
So, because I'm like, no, I don't want to do the whole thing. There's a portion of it that spoke to me, so I want to do that. But if it doesn't allow me, that's like good. That thing's
deleted faster. No, I see that.
So it's interesting as we look into it, those type of little kinks that we have in our own personal stuff. But yeah, we love scripture. I love what's in the scripture, which is awesome, because
that's been one of the primary goals of this podcast. We've talked about time and time again, is to ignite this curiosity in people listening. By the way, Pastor Matt and I, and any youth pastor who's on this podcast, it's never us just saying we want this for you, but we try to live our lives with, you know, Matt, you know this. It's like maybe, you know, we'll have moments as pastors where it's like, how can we reignite this, the curiosity and wonder of digging into scripture?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I even too, like, even just practically speaking, is sometimes I like to look at the examples of others, you know, having an older sibling, I would often growing up see what he did and if he got in trouble with it, did he get in trouble? Did he not get in trouble? Did he get rewarded with it? Did he not get rewarded with it? And I either tried to replicate it or not, based on the outcomes of his response to the decision that he made. And I look at the Bible even too. It's these were all real people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes we lose that, like you kind of said, the awe of it, but we lose the factual reality that every person in scripture was a human being.
Most definitely.
And imagine like that if we looked at them that way, it changes it, because it's like, holy smokes, what would I do if I were Moses or Abraham or like, you know, Paul? Or you look at all these characters in the Bible, these aren't characters in a fictional story that I made up. These were real people.
Definitely.
And then to think, man, if they can do these things, I can too. And then you look at the Bible differently, because it is inspired, holy word of God.
Right.
But they were real people dealing with real circumstances. And we get the privilege of seeing the results, but not their in the moment process.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes we got to cut ourselves enough grace and slack when we're in our own process, because we want to have the right answers, but sometimes the answer doesn't come right away.
Yeah, definitely.
And when we look at scripture, you know, maybe it's two lines in the Bible, but those two lines might have a timeline of like months.
Right.
Which is, you know, sometimes we forget about that.
I think it's super cool that you just outlined what it looks like to engage with scripture. Because honestly, and Pastor Matt can attest to this, you know, in preparing for today's podcast, we didn't even talk about leading in, segueing that way.
Yeah.
But that's a perfect setup to really to dive into what we wanted to talk about today, which is, I think it's cool that you said we don't give enough space for the process of what Scripture's trying to speak, what God's trying to speak and accomplish. And what we want to talk about today is this idea of, you know, in a world that is rapidly changing in form, in belief, in standards, in, you know, fill in the blank. This is the culture we live in.
Right.
There is a generation of people that, and there's a realm of Christianity, young voices that are saying, man, some of the things I'm seeing in God's word don't fit in with what society's saying.
Yeah.
How can we deconstruct what we find in God's word to fit into what I'm seeing in the world?
Right.
How can what I'm reading in God's word speak to me in a culture? And there's almost this side, there's this thought of like, if we're not careful, and this happens all the time, of like, is the Bible relevant for today?
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so it's like, we wanted to talk for a few moments just about that. Something that students are asking us all the time as pastors is this is, hey, does scripture change? Not even does it change. Does scripture apply to my life?
Right.
Is it irrelevant?
Right.
What, you know, Matt, you said this moments ago, what parts of scripture can I take and leave? This whole concept of like, and I think it's obviously, it's the dangerous mentality, but it's something we want to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Today. And I even think too, when we look at scripture, we need to understand the historical content of scripture.
For sure.
We got to look at the, you know, and we don't have enough time to actually like really give it justice to what it is. But what we want to do is almost reveal that there's a greater level to what anyone who's listening to this podcast, there's a greater depth and level to the Bible than what you have realized,
100%.
Regardless of where your knowledge and depth of scripture is. It is something that will always go deeper if you allow it to. The danger right now is people are looking at scripture and it is not lining up to their potential social context. It is not lining up to their, you know, just where they are, where society is.
Yeah.
And really, it's coming to clashes with having to ask the question, what am I going to follow? Because one of the things that I've come to realize is the gospel that Jesus was promoting gives a hard line of, are you going to cross this or not?
Yeah.
One of the things I was listening, I remember listening to a Bible Project podcast many months ago.
Yeah.
And the guy,
which if you haven't checked it out,
oh my gosh, they're amazing.
Shout out.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the Bible Project. If you look at the Gospels,
great stuff.
With JT Wright, it was eye opening for me. It was like the dude was, first of all, he's not American, so I can't remember. I think he's British, but I could listen to him all day.
So you'll be graced.
Oh yeah,
with a good accent.
Absolutely.
But for now, you get two Midwest guys.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And one of the things that he said was like, when it comes to the gospel and the announcement of the gospel is a change of like ownership, change of kingdom, change of kinship, like not kingship.
Yeah.
It'd be almost like a new president. So when you have an inauguration, it is saying that this is our new leader. So when Jesus was coming in and he was saying that the kingdom of God is here, he was saying that as of right now, there are two kingdoms that are happening right now and you have to choose.
Wow.
You have to choose kingdom of this world or kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And there is a king. And then I think this is the mirage that people are that are looking at it is they're saying,
yeah, if say it.
It, I am the king.
Right.
And when it doesn't clash with what I want, like that's where then I got to deconstruct it to the point of where then I feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Because the kingdom of God is not about us. It is about God and his kingdom. And so he is the ultimate ruler. And so then we have to play second, third, fourth, fifth fiddle to his kingdom. And what, but when we follow a deconstructed gospel, it's getting it to the point to make us feel good.
Yeah.
And I don't think the gospel was ever for to feel good about it.
Definitely not. And I got to say, I mean, we could end the podcast right here for real, because what you just shared is absolute heat, and hits, you know, straight on what we're seeing unfold in our world. And I love that you said, and you started out saying this, like, be careful what your posture is when you're approaching scripture.
Yes.
And then you, and then even sharing that concept of like, kingship was powerful because, and just, you know, just to be clear for everybody listening, we, unfortunately, this is something we're seeing a lot in our world. And it's not just, you know, this is not just confined to teenagers. I think this is something we're seeing in the world across all demographics. But this idea, like you said, it's rooted in this belief that, I already know everything that Scripture says.
Right.
Which,
right.
first of all, wrong.
Wrong. You're right? wrong. Yeah.
you're like, if that's the start, you're already in a bad spot.
If you're reading an English translation of the Bible, you're already wrong.
And
in all reality,
someone's like, I really felt like God spoke to me. He did.
He did.
That's not what we're
he
saying.
He did. He's speaking. But he also didn't write the Passion's Translation when he wrote the original manuscript.
Yeah. And how many times does that happen? It's like, we're having conversations with people daily that it's like, well, I'm seeing this happen in the world. And our response, you know, here's the thing that we've always committed ourselves to as pastors on this team, saying, we're not here to give you our opinions.
Yes.
We will.
Yes.
But we're here to tell you what God's word says.
Yes.
And let him speak to you. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to somebody, we do that. We turn them back to scripture and they say, well, I already know what the Bible says. Well, do you?
Yeah. Do you actually?
Do you actually know?
Yeah.
Right? That's a big thing, because a lot of times as the conversation continues, Pastor Matt and I will talk about this frequently. As it turns out, and this is not an indictment on people, but you may not have actually known what God's word said.
Yes.
You
know? Or it's like, oh, I forgot about that verse.
Yeah.
That completely counters
exactly
what I was trying to say.
Because it's not convenient.
Correct.
And that goes into what you were saying. I love it. This idea of like the gospel, we've lost this in the church. And I think that there's, what's cool is we're seeing some young people like run back to letting this shape their faith. But we've seen this like, well, the gospel in its entirety is inconvenient to my life and my world.
Right.
Well, bingo.
Yeah, there it is.
You know?
Yeah, there it is.
Who told you otherwise?
Right. When did Jesus call a disciple and said, follow me for the most convenient life you've ever experienced, you know? And I even think too, when we look at the disciples and the people that followed them, you know, and I would even say, look at the disciples post Jesus's ascension into heaven. Like, the disciples did not live a luxurious lifestyle. They lived a hard lifestyle because it's not about here on earth. And I think that's the hardest thing for us to wrap our heads around is that understanding of convenience versus like mission.
Yeah.
Because,
you're right. That's,
you know,
huge, man.
And I'm someone too where if like I struggle daily with wanting to provide for my family, wanting to make sure that my kids have a great life. The quote unquote American dream that we are trying to live, you know, and I even then too, I would look at, you know, John the Baptist, I would look at the disciples, I'd look at all these people in scripture of being like, man, that would be hard, you know, to leave everyone for the sake of Jesus and like building his church. But now it's like, but I don't live in that era. And I think that's the thing too. It's like, I don't live in that Bible time anymore. I live in 2021
and
we're recording this. But it's like, what can I do to understand that my life is not wrapped around, you know, my bank account, or it's not wrapped around what neighborhood I live in. It's not wrapped around, but it's the missional aspect of what do I do with this time and with this stuff.
You know, it's amazing. I think about the world's effort today to redefine.
Yeah.
And by the way, man, let's just be like very clear, because we've said this already on this podcast, but with no gray, with no room for gray, the gospel does not change, you know? No. And there's a lot of young people asking that question. So we'll just say that plain and simple, but obviously we're wrapping that up with like a lot of things we've been saying. But the world's effort to redefine. And it's almost like, okay, we get it, it doesn't, even that conversation has morphed, like, we get it, it doesn't change, but how can we redefine? How can we reimagine? Even like that word, like, how can we reimagine? I was laughing, you know, Matt and I this week were actually talking, some of the youth pastors on the team, Matt was introduced to a new word that is, he's laughing, he knows it's coming, that has gone viral on TikTok. The word is choogy.
Yeah.
And there's some people listening to this, maybe you're familiar, probably are, if you're, you know, if you fall into that category of Gen Z, maybe you're not, you'll look it up. But choogy is, well, first of all, let's talk about what it is real quick, and then and then we'll get to the point. But Matt was saying, you know, choogy saying, hey, this is somebody who, and they outlined all types of things. But as they, what was funny is as they were outlining it, Matt's like, hey,
just checking off the boxes like, of are you a choog or not? And that's the short term, you know, degrading term. I'm a choog. But it's basically, for those of you that aren't familiar like me, it's, there was an era where,
Tell them about your era, man.
Yeah. So there's what it was is, there was a thing going along when, was it millennials was looking at the generation preceding them, and they just say, okay, boomer. Boomer. And so choogy is kind of that for millennials.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good way. Way to put
so,
it.
So a choogy is a boomer.
Tell us some of the things you do.
Oh, and I can't remember one of them, but I mean, I've grown out of it a little bit, but it's all in your past. I can't remember some of the stuff.
It was cargo shorts.
Yeah, cargo shorts.
It's men and women. It was the thick cursive fonts.
Oh yeah,
the like live laugh love.
Yes, yeah, dance signs. Like no one's watching. Like,
The one that got Matt and I both, which I don't care, we fall into this for sure. But it said a love for B-dubs, which I thought was hilarious.
Man, I love me some Buffalo Wild Wings.
It is true that everybody our age is like, B-dubs.
If you want to have the best boys' night ever. It always ended in B-dubs.
It's true, man.
When you can,
but that makes you choogy.
That's dude. I'll be, if I can bro it up with 50 wings, I'll be a choog. I'll be a choog, unashamed.
And for anybody listening right now, it's like, what's the point of this? The point is, you know, insert for sure that example because it's funny, like it's something we were laughing about. But the point is, here you have this phenomena where it's like, here's a made up word to redefine.
Yes.
What's already true, and it's interesting because that happens in the world, but that bleeding into what we said, people's perception of God's word is like, how can we redefine it? What can we call it? And we're like, we're here to say, hey, the word of God says what the word of God says.
Yes, you yes, 100%.
No amount of redefinition needed.
It's not, and there's no need for greater definition. And I've even heard too, unfortunately, about Scripture is like, well, the Bible is not black and white. There's actually many gray areas.
Sure, yeah,
in the Bible,
right?
And I actually would almost say, I think more what it is it's the Bible is very black and white.
Yeah, you're
right. It's just your heart is gray to the issue, and I think sometimes when we look at gray, we would say, or even biblically, lukewarm.
That's another gray way to say it.
Yeah, and gray.
Okay, sorry, guys. You're good.
Just a bunch of choogs, you know. And here's what I would say. What I'm not calling people is lukewarm. I'm not saying people are lukewarm. I'm saying that people are in a process of clarity. And I had a really cool conversation with someone a couple weeks ago, and they brought up this phrase of deconstruction. And he actually said, he goes, hey, you know what? I'm actually okay with people deconstructing.
Yep.
Because the healthy deconstruction is taking someone's word to the bank.
Yeah.
And then maybe
it is. It's focusing on meaning.
Yes, it's meaning. You're right. And you're so here would be a healthy deconstruction. Tithing.
Sure.
So tithing is a biblical concept, but you maybe grew up in the church and you've only heard that you have to tithe. But you have no clarity on why you need to tithe.
Right, exactly.
And so there comes a time that you grow up and you ask the question, why do I have to do this? And then you start figuring it out for yourself. Yeah. And you start asking trusted people. That's and good. Maybe you do your own research and all these different things. So then you come to a revelation an understanding of why. That is a healthy way of deconstruction. It's almost like you're trying to find greater value and clarity to things that maybe you've heard over and over and over and over, and you've just heard it and you could recite it, but you never knew why you needed to know it.
Yeah.
And you're finding the why behind it.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
And I think also too, in this understanding, what's also critical is not deconstructing these things by yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everyone else has past contexts. Maybe they have faults. They have, you know, different ideas. Right. You need to have balanced people around you to balance out your extremes with their extremes to kind of be able to help bring some synergy to this thing. But basically, yeah, it's good, bro. But if you're deconstructing by yourself, like that's a dangerous spot to be. It would almost be, I've got two analogies. One's a foodie and then one's an HGTV analogy real quick. So the food analogy is this, think cake, like a multiple layered cake. But for years, all we've been doing is eat the frosting off of a cake. And like when we get to the Word of God, if you get into the Word of God, it makes you feel good, you know, because you're reading the stuff that you want to read. You're reading the truths you want to hear, you know, the grab bags of inspirational Bible verses that we love to post on social media and quote in our mirror selfies. You know what I'm saying? That all makes us feel good. But you know this, anyone knows this, if you only eat sugar over and over and over and over and over, that's going to make you so sick. And I think what people are not realizing is that there's other layers to this quote-unquote cake that if you can finally get past that first frosting to get some girth behind it and some weight behind it, like there's such a balance to it. You know, frosting with cake and then more frosting and cake. And, you know, like there's a balance to your bite when you understand the depth of what scripture is.
Yeah, that's good, man.
As well as in this, another analogy is when during the pandemic, I don't know about you, but I basically watched every HGTV show that it had to offer.
It's just always so good.
It's so good.
You know?
But one thing I realized is that you can always, like, if you crack the foundation of a house, like, the house is worthless.
Right, exactly.
You know?
It's crazy.
And you have to redo it from the very beginning. But you can tear down walls, you can put up walls, you can paint, you can, you know, you can change a lot of it. And that's almost with our faith. If we crack the foundation of it and we deconstruct too deep to where now we're questioning the whole meaning of everything, we've cracked it. And you have to have, you know, people who know what they're doing.
That's it.
That can be around them, because you would never do a house project without a licensed contractor or someone who knew what they were doing. And that's what people need to be in your lives. Is that's why you can't just always have peer-to-peer deconstruction. Like, you got to find leaders in your life, exactly, pastors in your life, older people in your life that have a little more wisdom than you do, to be able to dive into these things, so that if you have a hard conversation or have a hard meaning that doesn't make you feel good, but it's in the Word of God and you're saying, man, this is true though, but it grieves me, or this is true, but this is confusing me.
Yeah.
You have the right people in your pocket to be able to speak those things to you.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we're seeing people, try to replace discipleship with deconstructionism.
Yeah. You
know? And I love that you're talking about that peer-to-peer concept is heavy. It's why we have a big focus on discipleship, because it involves, like you said, a seasoned person who's, and this is biblical, who has walked where you're walking and has a wisdom and is able to guide. You know, it's interesting because you said peer-to-peer. When peers and social media are the only voices in what's shaping your faith, you're toast.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's something that can happen easily. And I don't even think that it's necessarily intentional. Like, you know, you talked about searching for the true meaning, which I think is gold, you know, like things you've been told your whole life in faith, that there is a healthy aspect of like, why do I actually do this? Or why are people saying this is important, and looking to God's word? And also something that we've seen is young people saying, I'm deconstructing faith because I've been hurt by someone or hurt by the church. Yep. But even that, to the point you just made, there's a better way. Yeah. There's a better way, and it has to be done in the presence of people that you know truly love and care for you.
Yeah.
And are a godly voice, and a voice that has a solid foundation.
Right.
Like you're saying.
I always think to this too, is when someone says, well, I've been hurt by the church, and so forget it, I'm out, like, 'cause I got hurt by the church. I think too, we quickly forget that Jesus was abandoned at the cross.
Yep. No, for
Think about this. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asks for his disciples to do a simple concept of stay awake.
Yeah.
And twice they failed.
Right.
And then everyone abandoned him. And then the one who said he would never like deny him, denied him three times.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think one disciple was at the crucifixion scene. Was John maybe the only one that was like physically there?
Yeah.
So if anyone should be hurt by the church, it should be Jesus.
Yeah.
And what was his response? It was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do.
Yeah, giving his life and forgiveness.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's almost like, and I get it, the church is built by imperfect people. Can we just state this?
Yeah, we've said this.
You but let's say it again. Will get hurt in life.
Right.
And so our question is this: if you are a part of the church, are you going to be continuing the problematic cancel culture that says, if you've hurt me, you lose me? Or are you going to do what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians and have a ministry of reconciliation?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what he's called us to do. If Jesus could say, hey, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do, do you not think that also in his letter to Ephesians, where it said, be imitators of God, that we should emulate and imitate Jesus when he said, forgive them, they don't know what they do?
Right.
Because what if you were hurt by a church because the pastor just had a bad day, because you don't understand that maybe their marriage is struggling and he accidentally said something out of like an unhealthy spot? Why? Because he's a human. And so can we just, for once, and I'm going on a little passion rant right now, just like understand that everyone on this earth is a human and makes mistakes.
Yeah, sure.
And give grace to that. But also, don't just cancel someone out because they hurt you. Be a man, be a woman, and go up to them and say, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but you hurt my feelings.
Yeah, just say it.
And just, and then just bring reconciliation to it. Because what if then there's a greater level of understanding in that moment of everything when it comes to the kingdom of God, of saying, hey, it's not a either you're for us or you're against us, but it's, hey, as we're together, let's bridge, you know, moments where we're not agreeing, but we also know how to be unified while in disagreement.
Yeah, that's so good.
And so anytime I hear someone say that I ran away because the church hurt me, I'd be like, well, no, duh. It's made up of humans.
Yeah. No, it's important to say, you know? And it's not, you just heard Pastor Matt, it doesn't discount any amount of hurt that's happened, but there's a right and wrong way to move forward.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember me, I made someone mad, but they didn't tell me about it.
Yeah.
And finally, I think it was months later, someone else told me that this person actually left because I made them mad.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what did I do? Did I say, well, good, I'm glad they left because blah, 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 blah. No, I called that person immediately after. And I said, hey, I said, I hope this is okay. If it's not, sorry. But this person told me that I hurt your feelings because I did this, this, and this.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I had no idea that this hurt your feelings.
Be the first to say it.
Yeah. And it's not, and again, this is not because I want them to come back to the youth group, or I want them to come right, back exactly. to the church so that I can get their tithe check and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
It's because God's called us to be reconciliators. And so I'm not doing it out of any sort of agenda other than I want to be an imitator of Jesus.
Right.
And if he said, Father, forgive them, I should be able to say, hey, can you forgive me?
Yeah.
And give them that opportunity. But if I let my pride stay in my throat and my heart, like, nothing's going to be reconciled.
It's so good, man. I want to wrap up with this thought, because I love what you said there. And I think the responsibility to represent and live out and understand God's word in this world does fall on us as Christ followers, mm-hmm. you know? And it's cool. I think about for all the times, all the conversations that you and I have had with people saying,
yeah,
hey, you know, I'm deconstructing faith. You know, these are things I'm feeling. This is what I've went through. The world that we live in, because you could hear a podcast like this, a conversation like this, and kind of be like, well, people are doing this all around me, so yeah. what is the solution? And the solution's easy. The solution is, you know, us not even, and I'm not intentionally trying to go full circle, but at the beginning of this, Pastor Matt talked about taking God's word in context, understanding what God's saying. The responsibility we have is to live out God's word
mm-hmm.
As it says.
Yeah.
And I think that here's what's cool is, like, for all the craziness in the world, one of the most powerful things that you can do is live your life according to God's word, but truly
yep.
according to God's yes. word, not the yep. bits and pieces,
right.
not the pick and choose,
yep.
But just, I'm going to live according to what God's word says. And
yeah.
it has a powerful impact in a world that is not doing that.
Right.
You know,
and in an era too, where, like, we have pluses on everything.
Yep.
We have ESPN Plus, we've got Disney Plus,
right.
we've got, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what the pluses mean is that the original was not enough. So we mm-hmm. need to add more. And what the gospel cannot be is the gospel plus.
Plus, that's so good.
Like, it can't be.
For real.
It needs to be just the gospel, and that is enough. I don't need more than just the gospel, because if you just have the gospel alone, that's enough.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I love that you said that. There's a pastor, his name's Heath Adamson, and he's overseen different things.
Yeah.
For people that are listening and don't know who he is, he's a pastor
yep.
and a leader. And he always said, and he said this to our team one time, and
yeah.
we were in that meeting, he said, the gospel is liquid.
Yes.
He said it fits in any container you put it in.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, people say, well, as time goes on, things change. And he's saying, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter what shape things change into.
Yep.
The gospel fits.
Yes.
At its core and its foundation. And I
yep.
love that you, I love what you said about the plus concept.
Yeah.
Because it has, like, overrun our society. You're
yeah.
saying there's not a gospel plus.
Yeah. You can't subscribe to a gospel plus. Like, can't do it. It is what
well,
it is.
You can't subscribe to this podcast.
Yes, you can. <Da-da-da-da>.
Dude, that was, nor did this 007, that was some sneaky agent stuff.
Yeah,
right
that's
there.
Right. Come on, I just gave you the golden pistol or whatever it is. And
oh, dude, that was it.
The
golden
yeah.
gun. The golden, one shot, one kill.
Oh, that, when you saw that on one of your screens, you just knew you were toast.
I feel like people listen to this, they think that, like, you got to know this, we don't intentionally tie all this stuff together.
No, but it always does get tied.
Matt and I have a... It's a gift.
It is.
Let's
a gift.
Call it what it is.
Yeah.
It's talking in circles.
You know, but here's a thought I had to, it's risky, but, like, the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament, the question is that all the gifts available?
Yeah. It's a big question.
It's a big question, because I think we have the spiritual gift of tying everything together.
Here, I thought it was like a deep theological
no,
question.
I was trying to tie everything
and I was
together.
Like,
you're ready.
I was a little on the edge of my seat because
yeah.
I was like, is heresy about to happen?
Nope.
But not on this podcast.
Nope.
You better believe it. This is Bible believing.
That's right. But that's a real question, though, that I want to, like, leave
yeah.
people wondering is
yeah.
like, are there more spiritual gifts than just the gifts that are written in Scripture?
Yeah, that's a good question. And here's the thing. We said this from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to dive into
mm-hmm.
God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you will get less... You've seen this, you know, you've heard this on this podcast. You get less answers
yep.
and more perspective and more truth,
yep,
but less direct answers, because we know that you're supposed to search.
Yeah. You know what we should do sometime? We should do a Q&R.
That would be sick.
And it's not a Q&A, but a Q&R. It's not question and answering, but it's question and response.
Yeah.
And that's or good. Question and redirect.
For a second, my mind just was stuck on QR codes, and I was like, "Where's this going?" Well, and then I understood what you said.
Well, QR codes are running.
Remember the world of the QR code?
Yeah, remember when that was like a thing that was like womp womp, and now it made crazy comeback.
So it's actually crazy. The guy, I don't know his name, but there's this family, on Instagram that's like known for traveling.
Oh, they're I know what you're talking about.
Yes. They're like, literally called something like that, like the traveling family or something. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. That guy
invented the QR code.
No wonder he's a.
So everybody says, how can this family travel the world? That guy sold the QR code to Apple or Google or whoever.
Because I remember you used to have to download a QR app.
Yep.
And then when it became available just on your camera, game changer.
Also, the fun fact for you. I guess at some point, I haven't seen the episode, but because Matt said this and it's true. When the QR code came out, it was kind of like, wah, wah, wah. Like, what's the point? And I guess somebody was telling me recently that this guy took the QR code on Shark Tank, which I love that show.
Oh, me too.
But all of the sharks said, this is a bad idea. This is a dumb idea.
Yep.
He left the show without a deal.
Wow.
And then he sold it for billions of dollars too. So.
Sharks, if you're listening, you made a terrible mistake.
Kevin Leary's listening to this.
Yeah, he's listening. Kevin Leary's subscribed. Damien.
Kevin O'Leary. Dude, Kevin O'Leary is my landlord. I'm not even kidding you. Kevin O'Leary. So Kevin Leary, my landlord, if you're listening to this, I love you.
Yeah.
But Kevin O'Leary, you need to work on your show.
Yeah. I held my mouth shut just in case he does listen.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not gonna.
Can you imagine?
And actually, we got nothing but love. Yeah. You know it.
Shark Tank's the best. Anytime I get a chance to hear Mark Cuban talk business and not get ejected from Mavericks games, it's always a win.
He's so passionate.
Oh, he's so passionate, like,
man.
Be that passionate about Jesus.
That's what I'm saying,
and
man.
The world would be a better place.
So. Hey, I hope you enjoyed 007.
Yes, 007. And if you have any questions or maybe some clarity or maybe you've got a comment, you can email us at youth@rivervalley.org. We'd love to answer. And even too, I would love to actually do some more digging about how to do maybe a live Q&R.
Yeah, we will do something. We've hinted on here about live events, and we will make one happen.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We know there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a revival night come up, and you do almost like a pre-party of stuff.
Yeah, for real.
You know, I don't know.
And by the way, this is not, we didn't mean to do this either, but stay in the loop. There's a lot of things coming up. It's summertime's coming.
Summertime.
A lot of sick stuff in youth.
Summertime in youth ministry is not the time where we press the brake.
Yeah.
We hit the gas pedal.
We're going to get it.
And we roll.
We love you guys. Until the next episode.
We'll see you later.
Bada boom.